Most people don't know, but there's actually three distinct styles of learning. It's auditory learning, visual learning, and kinesthetic learning. Kinesthetic is you do, you learn by doing. Audio, of course, you learn by seeing. And I just said that records. Visual, you learn by seeing. Audio, you learn by hearing. It's interesting that while we know that those are the three predominant learning styles, our favorite thing to do, maybe not you, our favorite thing to do when we think someone's not listening is we raise our voice and we start yelling, right? Maybe that's going to drive it in. And sometimes, and almost every time, the more we yell and the more we just tell things and direct things at people, the less they listen. So in today's part 9 of our Meant for More series, as we're making those shifts, right, to become, not to become God's masterpiece, we are, but to live as God's masterpiece, we need less telling and yelling, more modeling, sharing, and teaching. Our passage goes to Deuteronomy chapter 6, one of the first five books, last book of Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 says, "These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to obey in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Less telling and yelling, more modeling, sharing, and teaching. So I believe we were talking about in last week's sermon, you know, that our responsibility as disciples of Christ is to be witnesses of his works, to be teachers, and to be disciplers. For those that we're in relationship with. But like I said, a lot of times it's translated into telling and yelling. And telling is when you give somebody information with no context, no background, no reason. And yelling, of course, is its own beast. And so I want you to think about some of the things you were told that, and I'm not going to say your parents because I don't want to put it on them like that, but think about some of the ridiculous things we've been told throughout life. You know, if you were a kid that used to make crazy faces, anybody ever tell you, keep doing that, your face going to get stuck like that, right? You eat watermelon seeds, the watermelon is going to grow in your stomach, right? So it's interesting that there's so much to tell, and a lot of stuff that we tell is nonsense. And so how do we differentiate sharing, teaching, modeling the gospel versus just telling it to people or yelling it at people? I think that's been one of the biggest hindrances to the gospel is that those who are supposed to be sharing it are telling it or yelling it. Okay? So principle number one today is telling and yelling are only ever necessary or useful in an emergency. Right? Something's, building's coming down. Get out of the way! Right? You don't need context. You don't need reason. Move! Run! So here's the thing. So why, when people seem not to be understanding us or listening to us, do we feel that yelling at them is going to produce better fruit? Am I making sense to you? And so we need to understand that the gospel is not to just be told, not just to be yelled at or screamed at or shoved down people's throats, but that it's actually meant to be modeled, shared, and taught. Principle number two is every member of God's family is supposed to be a disciple maker who makes disciple makers who make disciple makers. We call this three-generation disciple makers. We see this in the text in verse 1. It says, these are the, this is Moses through the Holy Spirit writing here. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to obey in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Watch this. So that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. If we live out this mandate by God, this command by God, to make sure that we obey, our children obey, and their children obey, there would never be a lack of discipleship. There would never be a lack of generations coming to Christ one after the other. So we know that this is God's desire. We know that God sets it up this way. So why don't we see this? Right? And there's many reasons why not. But we're going to cover what we can do differently to make sure that we're buying into setting ourselves up, our children, and their children. And of course, it's not just physical children. We talk about the spiritual children, right? The spiritual nephews, the spiritual nieces, spiritual brothers, spiritual sisters. But it's meant to be disciple makers. And I want to, there really is no differentiation between saying a disciple and a disciple maker. However, we have to separate those terms now because the term disciple has been so abused and misused. So, even churches, we get out of sync on this. So, as a pastor, I'm a disciple maker. I make disciples of Jesus. But the problem is a lot of shepherds, pastors, teachers, deacons, the whole church leadership, all they really do is they make people disciples who follow them. And so we're looking to fill our churches with people. We want people that are going to follow us, but that's not making disciple makers. Because now all these disciples, they're just focused on you or, me. And they're not growing and they're not creating their own disciples. So now the generational, mandate to keep going for you and your children and your grandchildren is interrupted because you know what? It's somebody else's job to disciple them. It's the pastor's job. It's the deacon's job. It's the Sunday school teacher's job. Did you notice, first of all, in the Bible, that the first institution God builds is the home? You realize that, right? There's no church. It's the home. Man and wife, children. Where is God taking his word to? The home. Right? And so your home is not full of, intergenerational believers. This is not a condemnation. This is not a critique. This is not so you can walk away here feeling ashamed, but it's so we understand what we can do differently to change. Because if we want to see change, we have to be the change. Okay? So every member of God's family is supposed to be a disciple maker who makes disciple makers who make disciple makers. We're not just supposed to be people getting fed all the time. We always say, well, I need to know more. I'm gonna keep bragging on Adis and Maceo. As brand new believers, brand new believer, she's got Maceo in process right now. As a brand new believer, she already understands that, her partner is the most important person she needs to get these scriptures to. She knows it's her baby that needs to be raised this way. She knows it's her family, right? She told you about the Santeria. She knows it's her family that needs the gospel the most. And so even as, a brand new believer, she's already in the process of how do I do this? Because I know this is what God wants, but I don't know how to do it. And that's the job of the church. Our job is to teach you how to be disciple makers, right? But the studying of the scriptures should be happening on your own. The praying with God, the connecting with God, the being with God, that's all you, because we can't do it for you, right? And like I said, don't hear this as a critique. I'm just trying to make sure we understand the shift that's happening here, because most churches don't operate this way. Everybody's comfortable. I'm not judging them. I'm not saying they're not Christians. All I'm saying is that's not who we are, and that's not who we're going to be. So here, you're going to be a disciple maker, whether that's in the context of your home, your workplace, your neighborhood, wherever you volunteer. Notice, we don't have tons and tons of activities happening at church. You know why? Not because we don't love you, not because we don't care about you, Because we want you out in the world being amongst non-believers, bringing them the word. And bringing it to them through modeling, sharing, and teaching. Right? I think long gone should be the days. I'm not critiquing folks. Long gone should be the days of, hey, you know, come to church and you can hear my pastor. You all are called to shepherd people right where you are, no matter what you do. Okay? Principle number three, modeling, sharing, and teaching are all necessary methodologies for helping people experience God in their lives. We talked about the three style of learners, right? Audio, visual, kinesthetic. Even those things, right? Like you could do modeling. The reality is all of us like one of these more than the other. Some of us like to teach more. Some of us like to share more. Some of us like to model more. And you know, when I say you like to model, that means you don't like to talk too much, right? Oh, I'll just live it out. I don't have to say too much. So each one of these is great. But if it's just one muscle of the three that's overdeveloped, then you're neglecting the other two. And what's happening is you're not connecting with people who are different than you. See, we like to think that everybody thinks the way we do, everybody learns the way we do, and so if I do it my way, they'll get it. No. All you got to do is look around this room for 5 seconds and understand how different the people in this room are than you, but the commonality is that Jesus brings together people that would never otherwise be together. Right? And so this is why we have to grow in our understanding that our job is to help people experience God. That's it. We want to help them experience God because, as Adi shared earlier, when you experience God, there's no denying Him. Right? There's no going back. And so I want to show you Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. In three translations, because I want you to understand how I'm getting the modeling, the sharing, and the teaching. So for those of you, and there's many of us, that's what I'm telling you about this church, there's many of us that speak more than one language. And so you know when you speak more than one language, there's not always an exact word in a different language that means the exact same thing. There's a range of possibilities. So we want to use multiple translations of the Bible so we get a bigger picture of what's being talked about. So Deuteronomy 6:7 in the New International Version says, when it's talking about God's laws, impress them on your children. That impress means to seal or to stamp. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. The New Living Translation says, repeat them again and again to your children. Speaking of those laws. The Message, and I love this one, get them inside of you, and then get them inside your children. That's that modeling, right? You can't teach what you don't know. You realize that, right? And I know we have teachers here that we love, and they're great teachers. But you ever have somebody try to teach you something that they don't have a clue what they're talking about? Don't raise your hands, right? I know. Those are the teachers that's hard to deal with. You know they don't know, and they're trying to teach you. Get it inside of you, then you get it inside your children. That's that modeling aspect, right? You can't pretend model, right? Because here's the thing, no matter how many great teachings we give about the Bible, how many passionate stories that we share about what God has done, if the people around us don't see us living that out, it means nothing. It means nothing. Imagine being taught, you know, you love your spouse all the time. You're faithful to them only to grow up and find out that your parent has been unfaithful the whole time. What just happened to that teaching that's been ingrained in you for 20 years? It's worthless because you know the source, right? This is why when Christian leaders fall, people leave. Why? Because and I'm not even saying that the word of God is not true. It is true. However, when people know it's completely disconnected in your life, they're gone. You just lost all credibility. It's not good enough to know the truth and tell the truth. You have to live the truth. And that's that modeling, that sharing, and that teaching. Right? And even as we say share, I'm going to keep bragging on you. I know Maceo's out of here. You know, even as we talk about sharing, you know, Maceo grew up in an atheistic home, and he's in journey. He doesn't know where he's at. He knows his beliefs are changing. But it's so great, you know, as I spent several hours on a couple of different days, and that will continue some more. with Adiz and Maceo, just to watch all the questions going back and forth, right? There's no judgment for his questions. And to watch him and Adiz go back and forth, yeah, but this is what I think, and this is how I see it. And what do you think, Pastor? And then this is what I think. And then we're going back and forth sharing, right? That's the difference on telling. Telling is a one-sided conversation, man. You could tell the wall whatever you want. But when you're engaged with people, when you're helping them experience God, then it's sharing. And that's what we need more of, sharing, understanding where people are at, right? As Adiz said, she was received, her family was received. I think it's legitimate to say there may be churches that would not have received them, that would have made them jump through hoops to prove that you're a believer to me, right? Make sure you get, I know of churches that have made people get married before they got baptized, right? I'm not judging them, I'm just saying this is the difference between sharing and understanding. And we all know where we come from and what God saved us from. And that's what breeds humility, right? I know I'm not here because I'm great or because I'm wonderful or because I was better than the rest. I was worst of all of you, right? What does Paul say? I was the chief of all sinners. And so when we taste that grace, then we know that it requires modeling, sharing, and teaching to help people experience God. You know what's the interesting thing? We can't force anybody to experience God. You realize that, right? I could pray with you every day. I could teach you every day. I could model every day. I could share with you every day. But I can't force you to experience God. But they're aids. They're helpers. They help get people there. Give them their greatest opportunities. Principle number four, modeling, sharing, and teaching God's ways will always require your whole heart. Verse 5 in Deuteronomy 6 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. I don't think I need to say much about that. Principle 5, modeling, sharing, and teaching God's ways are always supposed to occur in the context of everyday life. This is what I'm talking about, why each of us is supposed to be a disciple maker. Verse 7 says, impress them on your children, speaking of God's ways. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. This is holistic living, right? This is holistic living. You notice it didn't say put on your Sunday best, drive to church, sit in the pew, tithe. I'm not saying we're against tithes. I'm just saying, right? I'm just saying it's holistic at home. It's holistic at home. Everything you do is supposed to be about God. Everything that drives your thoughts, your values, your convictions is supposed to be about God. And we need to get back to that. Now, the reason we don't do this is because principle number 6, modeling, sharing, and teaching God's ways will always require your undivided attention. We don't have the time. Time's the reason I can't love my wife well. Time's the reason I can't love my husband well, right? We can't spend quality time because there's so much to do. Who has time to pray? Who has time to read the Bible? And you know, especially when you're dealing with new believers, and I'm not in a offensive way. I'm gonna compare new believers to children, right? When children are excited to learn, it's question, 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 right? Only if you have your undivided attention are you going to invest while they're asking those questions. Otherwise, man, you're going to start making up answers just to get them to shut up and leave you alone, right? Get away from me, kid, right? So you need time and you need undivided attention. Because a lot of time when people ask questions, and now I'm talking about adults, when adults, new believers, non-believers ask questions, those questions are tied to roots in their heart. And sometimes the words that they're asking go much deeper than what you're actually hearing. So do you have a discerning heart? Do you have the Holy Spirit advising you? Do you see where they're going with this? Do you want to partner with me, the Holy Spirit, to minister to that? So you need time, because modeling, sharing, and teaching require time. And so I keep saying, we need, time is not going to accidentally be given to you. More time is not going to accidentally appear in your week. You have to be intentional and purposeful, carving out the time for God and for modeling, sharing, and teaching. Our last principle today, number 7, modeling, sharing, and teaching God's ways to others requires that the Lordship of Christ truly be lived out in ourselves and in our homes. This is what I believe verse 8 and verse 9 are referring to when they're talking about God's laws. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorframes of your houses and on your gates. Anybody walking by those homes when they had these up would understand, oh, the Lord reigns there. The King lives there. And so the problem is, it's very easy to put up these signs and not let the Lordship of Jesus actually reign in your home, in your life, or in your hearts. Right? So, the Lordship of Christ. Do you understand that He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? That means He is boss and I am not. Right? That means if He says to do it, I will do it. And if He says not to do it, I will not do it. So here's the thing. I want you to just see how this fits together. Why did we have a baptism in the middle of the service? Modeling. Why did we ask Adiza to tell her story? Sharing. And now, why do we have the scriptures and why are we breaking down the sermon? Teaching. This is how things work hand in hand for your spiritual growth, for the development of God's peoples, for the making of disciple makers. All of these must be present. It's the same reason we put PowerPoint slides up during an auditory sermon, because we want you to have visuals, for those of you that are visual learners. In the coming year, Lord willing, we will have some kinesthetic sermons where you're going to start getting your hands involved. And you're going to, I'm not going to tell you about all that yet because it's in the planning. But yes, we need to model, share, and teach if we want our loved ones, we want our friends, we want our neighbors, we want our coworkers to have their best opportunities to experience God. Okay? You already know how many times you've quoted scripture and said things. No, that's not enough. Right? Especially because we weaponize scripture too much. We weaponize it as, you know, somebody just did something. Hey, this scripture says you don't do that. Dude, that's not really what God needs us for. He needs us to take people through journeys dealing with context. What's the context of what's going on? And this is why we do it, right? This is why God asks us to do it. This is who God is. And this is because of what He's done in my life. This is why I just love to do it for Him. I love to do it with Him. And I love to do it with His people. So I want you to think about what's missing in your desire to help other people experience God. Because I'm guessing you're probably strong in one of these, at least one, but you're probably weak in another one. Okay? And so, is it just an undeveloped muscle that hasn't been trained? Or what's missing? And will we partner with God for Him to minister to that part of us? If it's missing, it's missing in us too. Say what we don't have. And so we want to ask God, God, please deal with this in me. Convict me, grow me, mature me, heal me, so that I can give You all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory in helping people experience this of who You are. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the fact that You modeled, You shared, You taught, You walked side by side, You prayed for us, You encouraged us, You corrected us. Lord, all of it. You are a 360-degree God, not leaving one facet untouched. Lord, we know that You're able to do this because You're God, but we also know that through the Holy Spirit, we have the power to do the same. Lord, help us to be the kind of disciple makers that are 360 degrees committed to You. that we don't shut you out of different rooms in our hearts, that we don't forbid you from this area of my life, but that we let your word be the spiritual mirror to our lives, as Adis was saying. We see the word, even if we don't agree with it, we realize it's God's word. You're speaking it for a reason because you want to deal with that area of our life. Help us to be faithful like Adis, and no matter what the culture tells us, we live for you, Lord. Whatever the commitment is that you ask us to make, we do it. And we do it gladly. And we see the benefits of it. We see the benefits of doing things your way, Lord. And that benefit is the beautiful young family that's here today, the baptism that happened here today, the echoing out in the kingdom of another believer saved, the echoing out in the kingdom of another disciple maker starting their journey, being made. Lord, we thank you for the fact that no matter how many years we've been Christians, it is still such a joyous occasion to watch someone give their life to you, to hear their testimony, and to hear, Lord, what we know you're capable of doing because we've seen it a million times, and yet every time it's fresh, every time it's powerful, every time it's radically life-changing. So, God, we thank you because we know that you and you alone are the reason for it. There was no preacher, no teacher calling. God, you called Adis yourself. Lord, we've been hearing of you giving Muslims in Arab countries dreams about you, and them turning from Islam and turning to you because when there's no witness for you, you witness for yourself. But Lord, let this place, let Lafayette, let Pleasant Hill, let Concord, let Oakland, let these not be places where dreams are needed because we got our mouths shut. Let us be your witnesses. Help us to be your co-laborers, Lord, as you intended it to be. And when we see your power and your miracles and your love poured out, we'll make sure we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. We love you, and we love you, and we love you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.